Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio. My name is Lauren Monroe, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Mr. Richard Allen.
Oh, wow. We've got a big crowd in tonight. Me, you, and the Pope.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you. It's nice to see you too.
So we have a great show tonight. We had an extraordinary interview with Jody from Al-Anon, talking about how resiliency can come from the Al-Anon program, which is a real community-based program. And we want to share it with everyone who's listening. And specifically, we wanted to look at our veterans and their families to see how they would fit into the Al-Anon program and how Al-Anon can help be an additional outreach for them. We had a wonderful interview with Jody, and I really think that people can get a lot out of the Al-Anon program. And if you haven't heard about what Al-Anon is, I want to read you a little blurb from their literature to talk about it. And Al-Anon focuses on individuals improving themselves and their relationships. Al-Anon teaches that we only have control over ourselves and that we have the power to change our lives. Al-Anon stops the victim cycle and empowers its members. And I think that's a huge piece to learning and growing and becoming resilient.
Mm. Yeah, many times we find ourselves running around others, trying to control others. And this is a wonderful way to accept the way things are and really help ourselves onto a road to our own recovery.
Mm-hmm. I think self-care is a big piece.
Mm-hmm.
Something that comes out of our Veterans Resiliency Program as well is taking care of yourself is the first step to taking care of your family. And in the interview, and Jody talks about isms, you'll hear her say isms, although Al-Anon is directed to families that are living with people abusing alcohol or drugs, it also supports people that are living with any kind of ism in their family. It could be, you know, rage, it could be PTSD, it could be, working with somebody who is depressed.
Yeah, or gambling addictions.
Yeah,
or
so the ism,
anything.
The ism is many things. It's what we're looking at through Al-Anon, I believe, is how we react to our situations and the people that are around us and how we can develop boundaries and healthy living skills so that we don't perpetuate the chaos in our family.
Yeah, kind of breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm. And it is cyclical. It's really interesting. And I'm excited to share this with our listeners, because you see the trickle down effect, and I shared it in the interview about my experience, how things get passed down so subconsciously.
No, I know a lot of times I don't think we're actually aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Until there's sort of an awareness that leads you to a realization that, wow, I do those things. I do try and control that situation, or I do this, or I do that, even though you're not quite sure where the source of that particular behavior came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is powerful.
One of the things that I really see in dealing with any kind of trauma in the family, is that control becomes a big issue because we're so frightened of losing control because things are unpredictable. That many of our spouses and caretakers will be in control all the time because there is no foundation, and that everything changes. The moods change. The environment changes so spontaneously that you have to be on top of it. So there is no off switch. It's on all the time.
Yeah, it's like being hypervigilant,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think through the unpredictability, you know.
Through the and being vulnerable in those times is very wounding. And so secondary trauma comes into play. And I think with Al-Anon, they shine a light on yourself. And you get to see yourself and how you react. And you're given such beautiful tools. One of the key elements in our interview is about how listening to other people's stories is such a healing tool.
It is. We've learned that through a lot of the work that we've done with the Wounded Warrior Project. You know, some of the warrior gatherings, and you know, it's really powerful when you start to listen to somebody else's stories, because then you can start to identify certain traits within yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're all mirrors for each other.
Yeah.
So those of you listening, I hope you keep listening, and we'll be right back with Jody and our conversation about Al-Anon and resiliency.
Fantastic.
This is Lauren and Rick with Resiliency Radio.
Hey, Jody, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you, Rick?
Yeah, good.
We're really happy to have you on the call today. We're excited to talk about Al-Anon and its mission and how it can support resiliency. And we heard you were a great person to talk to, and your experience is golden. So we want to share your experience and share your knowledge of Al-Anon with our listeners. Where do you want to start?
Well, first I'd like to just start with, this is a personal experience, so it's my personal experience, strength, and hope, and I am not a spokesperson for Al-Anon in any way, and to protect my anonymity and others that know me, I'll go by just my first name, which is Jody, and sticking with our traditions, if I do speak or we speak with any public for a public service announcement or in any way, that it does come from only us and our experience, strength, and hope. So from there, you can ask me any questions, because it's only based on how I feel and my experience within the program and how it's helped me.
Absolutely. And you know what? Everything we do within our radio programs and within the Raven Drum, we find that it's the personal experience is the most powerful way to communicate healing to another person. So we totally support you on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
Jody, could you explain for those people that don't know anything about Al-Anon, what the mission is, and how it can help support resiliency in people?
Okay. I wouldn't exactly say we have a mission statement in the Al-Anon program. What it takes to be a member is that somebody that you know, their life as an addict or an alcoholic has touched your life and created a part in you that's made your life unmanageable, which surprisingly enough, that's 90% of the nation. And we all have someone within our family that's touched our lives in that way that we've wanted to rescue at one time. That's at least been my experience in my life. So in that way, I started in the rooms when I was 25 years old, and I got into the rooms because my husband at the time was active in his ism, and prior to that, I was raised in it, and then lucky me, I spawned it. So I have it from all angles and all directions. And in every single way, the Al-Anon program has given me the ability to work through all of those different areas of my life by listening to others' experience, strength, and hope. Through our literature, which is Al-Anon approved literature, we read and we write on what we read about. Going to the meetings is where we gain experience, strength, and hope from others' stories. There is no fee to be in Al-Anon. And when you go and you attend these rooms, there is a basket that's passed for our seven tradition because we are fully self-supporting. If you cannot afford a dollar, 50 cents, anything, you don't put in. It is always free to anyone that's looking for a recovery in any way. There are also focus groups within Al-Anon that are parents of children that are addicts. And in that way, from my experience, I got to, when my son started using, to be able to walk into these rooms with other parents that had kids that had used before me and get to see the routes that they took and where they made really high expenses to please their addicts but didn't get to really help them. Mm. So it was a very interesting path for me to see it from an adult child of an alcoholic to marry one as a spouse and then to be a parent of one.
You know, I want to touch on that because I think it's really a powerful thing that I learned in my own experience that I wasn't aware of. That even though if you may not even have alcoholism or any kind of ism in your current family, and I learned this by going to an Al-Anon meeting, that it was in my family through a couple of generations, but the behaviors around the kids of that got passed down to the kids of, and I'm third generation of it, and how I see how there's certain ways I perceive life, the way I control things possibly, the way I feel insecurities, things got passed down to me without even being in an immediate family of someone with an ism. It got carried down through the generations, and I think that's a powerful lesson that I learned through Al-Anon, that we carry certain traits and they get passed down.
Yes, most definitely. I got to see, like you were saying, I got to see my own pattern that I understood what I was living in when I was a child. I didn't understand it very young, but as I became a teenager, I understood what was happening because I chose to not have my friends over because there would be drugs or alcohol in the home. I would walk on eggshells when I was there because I didn't know how the alcoholic was going to be that day. Well, then I just, because I knew that and I understood that, I walked into my marriage in that same way, where I knew what I was walking into in my marriage, and I still made that choice. Because there's this, there's a part in our program that we say, you know, we walk in here smug, arrogant, and self-righteous. And that was very true, dominating and controlling. And I really thought that I could get these people in my life sober. And what I realized in the rooms and walking into the rooms is that the rooms are not about that. The Al-Anon rooms are about switching the focus back to myself. Mm. We walk in with the he, and the she, and really it's the I. It's a we program, as in the fellowship, which I could not have made it this far without, but it comes from I have to look at me to see the things that I'm doing that I need to recover from. There, I had gained coping skills that helped me make it through a childhood of isms that weren't serving me a purpose anymore. They were actually creating detriment, and I needed to let go of those coping skills and create new ones. And Al-Anon gave me that space to be able to do that in a healthy manner of recovery.
Mm-hmm. So really, you've learned to protect yourself and also take yourself out of the equation and really look out for you and your well-being. Am I correct?
Yes, and in the way, I like the way that you phrase that, in the way of protecting myself, I would say coming from program perspective, is that I create healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I realized in program is that I didn't need to protect myself. I just needed to create a healthy boundary, understand it's my boundary so people will cross it, but I get to create it again, or I get to leave. See, coming into the rooms, I didn't realize when a phone call came, I didn't have to take it and stay in the craziness. I didn't realize I could hang up the phone. I would stay. I would jump right onto the bandwagon of insanity with them because it's all I knew. So the hamster, you know, being in the hamster wheel wasn't just one person. It was two. And who was chasing who? Who knew?
Right.
But that's exactly how it went. And the same chaos ensued. Even after having, when my son came along, of course, he didn't start using until, you know, early teens, but didn't start using until later. And with all these years of experience in this program, I was surprised at how fast I could go back into old behavior, not bad behavior, because I don't like to label in that way, but old behavior patterns. And I had to get back into, like I said, different focus rooms to be able to see, oh, this is me that's doing this again,
right.
Not him. I need to create healthy boundaries. So, yeah.
I think this information is so valuable, and I'd like to move on to the area of our veterans and their families, because this is an area that can help spouses and families of vets who are coming back with so many different ailments, things that they're struggling with, TBI, post-traumatic stress, which is a high point in some of the struggles of our vets and their families. How can Al-Anon assist our families? Because I see them in the cycle of chaos because of the post-traumatic stress that exists, and they're very isolated. How would they be welcomed into the world of Al-Anon, and what would that look like for them?
Well, okay. Al-Anon is a fellowship. It's a fellowship of people that have come together because they're connected through somebody else's participation that we find craziness in them using. So in that way, we all have a tendency to use whatever that mental addiction is for any of us. Mind you, this is only my experience.
Mm-hmm.
What Al-Anon created for me was a language of communication that I could have with other members in my family. I needed to learn a new language. I needed to learn words like boundaries. I'll get back to you on that. Let me reason this out with somebody else. And once I created that, and even if other people in my family weren't attending program, after a while they understand the language. And in that, there's a safety in that. When two people are coming at each other, from my experience, the egos are so big, they just want to be heard. And one ego is going to be louder than the other ego, and so one will acquiesce, and eventually that will happen, or they will clash as egos. In the fellowship, the language that's learned is that nobody has to feel that somebody is being attacked or needs to defend, because within this language, there's a safe place to be able to communicate and to talk. And I would assume that coming home, that's hard, because there's a language that's been created for these veterans that were over in a place that they're dealing with life and death situations on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. They had to have created a language of communication that is going to be very different than our society that they're going to walk back home and into. So to acclimate back to their families and their families acclimating to them, this is where a fellowship comes into play and can help and be beneficial mm-hmm. to them.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful how personal experience can help others to find themselves.
Can you talk a little bit about Alateen? Because I know it's a part of Al-Anon, and there's a lot of our teenagers in our veteran community that do suffer from their parents' behaviors coming out of the military and dealing with military injuries.
Yes, I can speak a little bit about that, and especially because of anonymity and we're dealing with underage.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more of a fine line. In that way, I was experienced again. I, for a year and a half, was an Alateen sponsor. And so I worked with the Alateens, and I also worked with preteens. And it was great. We would take them through pieces of our literature, and then, especially for preteens, and we would let them work out with drawing and things like that, let them work out what was happening in their homes. And this gave them a safe place within these rooms to talk to other kids their age.
Mm-hmm.
And that peer environment where nobody is above them or wanting to teach them something gave them a place that they would just talk and talk and talk and talk. And they didn't feel frightened that they would be judged because these other kids were in the same arena that they were when they went home. And Alateens walked into it with trepidation always. A lot of them were brought because of their parents. Then there were others that their parents said no, they couldn't go, and found a way to get to Alateen mm-hmm. for themselves, and have progressed a lot, doing it all on their own because they knew they needed some sense of sanity for themselves outside of the chaos that was happening in the isms that were going on in their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, in that way, I wish, and this is me, I wish we saw more, because you can go walk into AA rooms and Al-Anon rooms, CA rooms, NA rooms, MA rooms, it doesn't matter, and find many, many, many of us as adults. And I wonder, where are these children? Because they're not sitting in the Alateen rooms. So it would be our pleasure to have more of them there. I wish I would have known of it when I was a kid.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess so much goes under the radar. And I'm sure once you get into the rooms, you find that there are probably a lot of people that ought to be there that aren't there. And yes, I also wish that more people could find this.
Yes, it's a wonderful fellowship. What's nice is when I came to the rooms and I first started, because sponsorship is a huge part of our program, and I had a sponsor who was wonderful. All of my sponsors have been wonderful. And there's guidance and direction based on their experience, strength, and hope that's given. And in that, I got to walk into the rooms, and what was suggested to me in the beginning is go and listen. Learn how to listen. And I really did. I went to my first 30 meetings, and I was a sponge. So instead of that Al-Anon mind that wanted to solve problems and fix things for people and really just give my two cents where it wasn't needed, but I thought it was, I got to sit and listen to people. And in their sharing, I realized how much my arrogance got in the way of my healing.
Mm.
And that it got in the way of me having true, real relationships. Al-Anon has taught me how to have relationships with other people. Because it's very scary being raised in an environment where I thought I had to stay 10 steps ahead or I was going to be run over.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that I could rely on a power greater than myself, and at the time could coming into program can be anything. That's the beauty of this program. There are no denominations. And you will cultivate your own higher power, whatever that may be. And that's why there's no bias in program. We come there because we all struggle with somebody else's addiction. And we learn in there to take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the place to start. So in that way, it's beautiful, and these people have become my true friends, true, true friends, where I needed a place to live, and I was offered a home. when my son was struggling, I had moms that, you know, took me in and took care of me when I didn't know what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there for me.
I have to say, the meetings that I've went to, just walking in, and of course, and listening, because that's all I've done, the amount of love that are in those rooms, it's palpable. And the stories are very, very raw and real and honest, and people come with their hearts open, and if you don't, your heart begins to open as you experience other people's stories. So I love hearing your story, Jody. I think it's really important for our veteran families to hear it. And then listening to you, I'm sure they can hear themselves, especially when I'm hearing you talking about walking on eggshells and being about having to be 10 steps ahead. Because when you're living in a family where there's post-traumatic stress, that is the norm. And there's the anxiety is so high because everything is so unpredictable with the person who is living with that stress, post-traumatic stress. And it becomes secondary PTSD for the family.
That's a very good point. It does.
Yeah. And when, like you said, and most of these families don't even realize they're carrying the PTSD now because they've had to react so often. And this environment...
Yes.
The environment of Al-Anon is such a wonderful place for them. I really want to guide them to that.
Yeah, the one thing that's really a gift, too, is that you use the word, and this is what made me grab onto it, is we learn how not to react, but be in action, and to take action in our life instead of react to somebody else. Mm. And in that, there is so much empowerment in that. In our first step, admit that our lives are powerless, that we are powerless over alcoholism. And you could use any word, but powerless over, can be freeing. Someone that comes in that has had to be in control their whole life, that is scary. That if we let that go and we become powerless, that our lives will fall apart because the person that's suffering will not be able to step up. But the second part of our first step is that our life becomes unmanageable. And where my life became unmanageable was in my reaction to what I felt powerlessness meant,
mm-hmm.
by reacting to somebody else's behavior. So I learned that it is very important that I take action. And taking action can be as simple as sitting still and not having an answer this time. Oh, let me get back to you.
Hmm.
That's a very, very important thing. Relying on another person. A lot of times when people are living with PTSD or alcoholism in their home, they don't want people to know outside of their home. This is a very cunning and baffling disease, or then could be a disorder, but it's very cunning and baffling. And in there's a lot of denial. And in that denial, we will do things to cover up. I know I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I live a life now where I don't have to cover up for somebody else's behavior, nor do I have to worry that I have to own their behavior either. I get to let people be who they are and work my program for myself, mm-hmm. to be the healthiest individual I can be.
That's huge.
Just briefly, with the past relationships or relationships you have now where those particular people are in their isms, have you found through what you've learned from coming into the Al-Anon rooms, have you learned that your relationships have become better with those people?
Yes, very much so. I have many years of recovery, and so does my ex-husband. And in that, my son was raised in the room, still chose to take the path that he did, but we've both learned to honor that for him. It may not be the path we want for him, but we also very much, because of learning in the rooms the disease, we can have a healthy relationship with our child, where if we would have never gained... we would have never gained the knowledge that was in those rooms. I can't speak for others, but I would be a crazy out of control mom that was hunting my kid down, trying to figure out what he was doing, where he was doing it, and thinking I could save him from that.
Right.
And literally going through family savings and everything like that. So in that way, yes, I get to have a healthy, happy relationship with my son today that has actually very happy, healthy boundaries that he honors and respects. And he, a short, brief one of my experience, we were speaking on the phone the other day, and we were talking about a situation that he had asked for something. And he said, you know, I want to tell you something, Mom, that the one thing you don't do is you don't give me wiggle room. And you don't let me be passive aggressive to get what I want from you. In the moment, I think it's the most important thing. But because you can keep a level head and you can walk away in a loving manner with compassion, he said, I can get off the phone and be okay that you said no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift, because that does not happen in activism very often if you don't have the tools of communication to give to each other. And that came from those rooms. My son was in Alateen, has been sober a couple of times in the AA rooms, and he's been to Al-Anon. So he understands, and that's a gift. Mm. It's a true gift.
That's,
well,
that's,
you know, that
wonderful.
Doesn't happen in the teenagers' vocabulary very much. Anyway. And the fact that he had the, you know, he had the knowledge to articulate the way he did says a lot about, you know, him, as well as the support he most likely received from Alateen to be able to put those perceptions together at that age. It's really wonderful.
Very much so. Very much so.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
I think.
And there's a lot that they deal with, even on that level. My son is going to be finding out soon that he has a friend that just OD'd. And this is hard at their age. We went to a funeral last year and of another young friend, you know, and it was the same thing. It was an OD. So it is, the friends, there is a connection. And then to see that the disease doesn't stop just because they see that, it's a very empowering event for them, because my son is one that he owns the responsibility of that. The choices he's making are the choices he's making. He does not blame anyone. And I think as teenagers, especially ones that might use, it's very easy to blame.
Yeah.
And Al-Anon and Alateen and AA help us to be responsible for our own actions.
So how can a person find out more about Al-Anon? Where would they go online? Or do you have any information?
Yes, you can go to alanon.org, and you can go to AA and look up any meeting that you want. Al-Anon and AA are both online, and their websites are really good now, and you can get to referencing within our literature. You can find meetings. There are also hotlines that you can call. You can call, you know, 411, and you can get the Al-Anon hotline, and you can call up and find out where any meeting is any day at any time, and someone will tell you about it. I happen to live in an area now where I travel an hour each way to get to a meeting, but it's worth every minute to do that. So
I really appreciate everything you shared, and I think our listeners will get so much out of your experience. Jody, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, what an inspiration.
Thank you both, Lauren and Rick.
Thank you, Jody.
And we'll be right back, everybody. Welcome back, everyone. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Jody, talking about Al-Anon and resiliency. And we're ready to move forward into the year 2013. So we really want to create the drumming experience for everyone so that we can all move ahead with resiliency and strength together. So let's prepare. Rick's already at the drum kit, and I'm here at my drum. So those of you at home, take a moment to clear your space and turn off any cell phones and quiet your mind so you can receive the healing effects from our work together. And remember, this is pre-recorded, but it doesn't matter because our time and space together will be just as strong. So take a moment to take a deep breath. Breathe in through your nose and exhale through your mouth. If you have an instrument, just leave it beside you for right now. Connect yourself to the chair or the floor if you're lying down. You can be lying down now if you like. Let the earth support you. Give yourself permission to relax right now. We'll be taking 10 minutes. Deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And together, let's set the intention of healing whatever wound we may have that prevents us from letting go, that prevents us from having faith and being connected. And in this intention, we release control of the things that may hurt us. And we surrender to a higher knowing, a higher power that can connect us all. And when we do this, we not only heal ourselves, but we heal each other. Moving into 2013, we create a new paradigm for healing for ourselves and for the world. So take a deep breath in and allow the rhythm to project your intention. Breathe deeply and receive. Visualize yourself with your mind's eye. Visualize us all and connect us with your mind's eye, with your heart. Breathe. Breathe. remember your intention. Take a deep breath, remain in silence. Just be in a place of awareness and be in gratitude for this moment. And slowly come back into your room, into your environment. Rick, why don't you come back over here?
Sorry, I was deep in contemplation.
Moving into 2013. There are so many of us experiencing a lot of upheaval right now, a lot of uncertainty and out of control. There's a lot going on in the world aside from our individual experiences in our families. But together, when we connect in this way, we're able to really set very powerful intentions. And so we welcome you to listen to any of our programs and tonight's program as we move through December, moving into the new year.
Yeah, it's an interesting time of year because, you know, the idea is that it's wonderful and everybody's having this fantastic time, but I think... It also brings up a lot of negative issues for people, and I think that's one of the things that you know, we can use our intention to really wish people or hope that people can work through and see themselves and see others and see their relationships for what they really are.
So we thank you all for being with us. Our last Resiliency Radio show for 2012.
Yeah. It's always great to be able to share our experience and have others share their experience with us, because we always end up growing through this whole process. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And send us your comments and your thoughts and... any revelations you may have about 2013 and moving into the new year. And we'll be thinking of you throughout this holiday time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks and good night.
Good night.
You're by my side.